The sermon today is entitled, Christ is Risen. At Easter last year, Maggie and I were in Yekaterinburg on our way into the heartland of Siberia. One thing that was very noticeable to us as we travelled across Russia was that there was a revival of faith. Across the country, Orthodox churches were being rebuilt, and some of the huge churches in cities like Yekaterinburg had been restored to their full glory. And in all the churches we went to, we met people who were praying, preparing for the Easter weekend, when they would celebrate the crucifixion as well as the resurrection of their and our risen Lord. This year we're privileged to be with you again at this time. Although we might as well have been in another country, as we're not able to be physically together. But brothers and sisters, we are most certainly not alone. We're not alone, for as the beautiful hymn, "We are heirs of the Father," tells us, in our risen Lord, we are children of the kingdom, we are family, and we are one. Psalm 118 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, of course, that goes for every day of our lives. Every day is a gift from God, and we can rejoice in each day. But today is a bit of a special day, isn't it? Yes, it's a Sunday, and that is special in itself. But this is also Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday, the day when we remember and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Saviour. It's a blessed day, just as it was for the disciples of Jesus all those years ago. But to fully appreciate the joy and delight they must have experienced on that first Easter Sunday morning, we also need to think about how deep a darkness of soul they would have experienced on Crucifixion Friday, and how that darkness would have caused an all-pervading despair on Sabbath Saturday. Our text tells us about how their darkness and despair would be lifted and changed to delight. Let us look then this morning at our text under the heading of the darkness of Friday, the despair of Saturday, and the delight of Sunday. Can you imagine how hopeless the disciples of Jesus would have felt on the day that Jesus was crucified? Many of them had been following Jesus for years. They'd travelled with him, lived with him, they'd learned from him, they'd forsaken friends and family for him. They'd put all their hope in him. And now, after all the turmoil of the past few days, Jesus was dead, crucified on the cross, dying like a criminal. His followers would have all felt a keen sense of loss. Some had deserted him. Some had fled. They'd lost the leader whom they'd thought would deliver them from oppression. They'd lost the master who had been shaping their lives into lives of discipleship, into kingdom lives. What was going to happen to the kingdom of which Jesus spoke so often? One can only begin to imagine the sense of hopelessness and insecurity they would have experienced as they watched the kingdom's king die. It's no surprise that so many fled. And the 11 closest disciples of Jesus wouldn't have been immune to this. They would have either seen him suffer on the cross, seen him die, or at the very least have heard of his death. Some may even have heard him call out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's safe to say that for them, it would have seemed that their world had come to an end, that the past 3 years had been a waste. And just as darkness fell on the earth, as the curtain of the temple was torn in two, a darkness of the soul would have fallen, especially on the 11 disciples. And this darkness of the soul would have been heightened when Jesus was buried. Our text tells us just of the women who were present when Joseph of Arimathea laid Christ's body in the tomb. We don't know where the others were. Perhaps they were too stricken with grief. It's possible they couldn't bear to witness this final installment of Jesus' story. For as we read through Luke's account, it seems their spiritual eyes were still very much closed. They saw just what was in front of them, the death and burial of the one whom they had thought was the Saviour. Their grief was perhaps so overwhelming that they didn't remember what Jesus had taught them. Perhaps they thought that Jesus had just been speaking parables when he said that he had to die but that he would be raised again. Matthew tells us that Jesus had begun to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." We'd think especially that Peter would have remembered this, but the darkness of the events that Friday, the darkness that had settled on the land for 3 hours, caused a darkness to fall over the souls of those close friends and followers of Jesus. And this darkness would have led to feelings of deep despair, which would have carried over into the Saturday, their Sabbath. Now, our text doesn't tell us much about what the disciples did on Saturday, their Sabbath. After they'd watched Joseph lay Jesus in the tomb on Friday, on the day of preparation, the women returned home to the spices and ointments they would need for the proper preparation of Jesus' body. But as Luke tells us, on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. The Sabbath was a day of rest for the Jewish people, and there can't be much doubt that the disciples of Jesus would have done exactly what Luke tells us. They would have rested. But friends, all of us who've suffered loss know that grief and the pain of loss isn't something that just disappears overnight. And if you're idle, as the disciples would have been, your thoughts tend to start overwhelming you. It's of course difficult for us, separated in time and in culture from these early disciples, to fully comprehend the depth of despair that they would have experienced, whether they sat at home alone, or in small groups, or gathered together as disciples. It would have been a sad, somber, and reflective time, one filled with grief and also with uncertainty over what their future would look like without Jesus. Dearest brothers and sisters, it seems clear that the disciples had forgotten that Jesus told them that he would be killed. They'd forgotten that he'd said he would be raised up from the dead. And when we look back through time, it appears that they also didn't realize the significance of Jesus' final words on the cross. Listen to Luke 34, verse 46. "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty of these words lies in the fact that Jesus was in God's hands. God's plan wouldn't fail. It couldn't fail. God the Father would raise him up on the third day, as Jesus had said. But the pain was still too raw for the disciples to see this. The grief was too fresh. The hurt and disillusionment of losing the one in whom they had placed their hope would have weighed heavily on them. Grief often causes us to lose perspective, and sometimes it causes us to view what lies before us as insurmountable. And perhaps this is where the disciples were at emotionally on that Sabbath, that day between the crucifixion and the resurrection. But Jesus was in the hands of God, and God would fulfill the promise of raising him up, and he did on that first Easter morning. The darkness of death would be turned into the brilliant light of life. The despair of uncertainty and lost hope would be changed into renewed hope and assurance. The darkness of the Friday and the despair of the Saturday would be turned into dazzling delight. On Easter morning, the perspectives of the disciples would be changed forever. Their whole lives would be changed. When Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary arrived at the tomb early on Sunday morning, the tomb was open and Jesus' body was missing. They were confused about this, for they still didn't understand. But confronted with the truth by two angels, they remembered Jesus' words and hurried back to the others to share the news. Yet there was still confusion in the hearts of those who heard them. Even good old Peter just marveled at the empty tomb. And even after receiving the marvelous news, the disciples appeared to be confused, befuddled, confuzzled by what had happened. This was the same with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their eyes were also closed in terms of recognizing Jesus. That is, until they invited Jesus into their home and he opened their eyes to the glorious truth. He is risen. He is alive. Friends, it's no wonder that they could say, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture? And they immediately left their home to share the good news with the others. What a brilliant picture that is for us. Their eyes were open, and they went and spread the good news. They saw the risen Christ and went and told people that Christ is risen indeed. Earlier I mentioned about how when we were in Russia, the Orthodox believers were preparing for the celebration of Easter. Some time ago I also shared with you the tradition that the Orthodox churches have on Easter Sunday, when they greet each other with the words, Christos Voskrese, Voistine Voskrese, which means Christ is risen, truly he is risen. You can hear these words echoing in their singing too. And dearest brothers and sisters, just as the two disciples lifted up their hearts, returned to Jerusalem and started sharing the news of the risen Christ, just so we are called to do the same. Not just on a special Sunday like today, not just to our Christian friends, not just to our brethren in the church, not just to other disciples. No, your and my lives must carry this message to the world with our words as well as with what we do and also what we refuse to do. Are our lives shouting out, Christos Voskrese, Voistine Voskrese? I've previously told you the story of a powerful and popular communist leader who travelled around the country to proclaim atheism to the masses. Now, I've not been able to verify the truth of the story, but it's said that when he was in Kiev, he came out guns blazing against Christianity, again and again hurling insult and argument and proof against it. When he finished after about an hour, he looked at what he seemed to view as the smouldering ashes of men's faith, and he demanded, "Are there any questions?" There was a deafening silence. That is, until one man slowly walked up to the microphone, looked out over the crowd, and then shouted out that ancient traditional greeting, "Christ is risen." The crowd rose as one man, and the response came crashing like the sound of thunder. "Truly, he is risen." Friends, our Lord Jesus isn't like the so-called gods and prophets of other faiths. He's not dead. He is risen. He is alive. And because he is alive, we are alive too. Surely that has to kindle a burning flame in our hearts. Surely if we believe that, if the Lord has loved us so much and placed faith in our hearts, shouldn't those same hearts passionately share the good news of Jesus, crucified and risen, with others? Daily? With every fiber of our bodies? Surely we cannot help but exclaim, "Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me I give you praise. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you." The delight of these two disciples just had to be shared. And as they were busy sharing the extraordinary news with the other disciples, Jesus himself appeared. And again, it seems as if there were peels on their eyes. For Luke tells us they were startled and frightened. Now friends, we of course have the benefit of hindsight, which as they say is always perfect. It's easy for us to say, "Really, guys? Didn't you listen to Jesus? Didn't you believe him when he said he would be raised on the third day? What's up with you?" It's easy for us to criticize. Easy for us to pass judgment. For we didn't go through the pain and sorrow and darkness and despair that they did. Yet even in this time, Jesus comforts them and he doesn't rebuke them. Even when they're still doubting, he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. And even in their doubt and even in their disbelief, Luke tells us, they marveled and were still joyful. Can you imagine the joy they felt as the darkness of their souls lifted, as the light of Christ shone upon them? Can you imagine their joyous delight when their hopelessness and their despair were replaced with renewed hope and assurance, eternal assurance. Oh, what joy, what delight. Now, I know that earthly examples always fail to capture the true intensity and the extent of the joy that we can experience in Jesus, and nothing can compare with the joy of assurance knowing that Jesus is risen, that He is Lord, that He is our Saviour. But perhaps the following illustration will capture some of this joy. In 1991, a mother in Los Angeles received a call to say that her son was killed when he set off a landmine while serving in the First Gulf War. In shock and in deep distress, she mourned the loss of her son. But then she received another call, one which in her distressed state she thought was a cruel hoax. For on the other end of the phone line was a voice that says, "Mom, it's me, I'm alive. The military got it wrong." As that realization set in, she could almost not stop laughing and crying and rejoicing in delight, because what had seemed to her to be a hopeless situation turned out to be the greatest day of her life. Friends, brothers and sisters, that's the sort of dazzling delight I think we can ascribe to the disciples on that delightful resurrection Sunday. Mary and the lady saw the empty tomb but didn't understand. Peter saw the empty tomb and walked away in wonderment. The disciples on the road to Emmaus saw Jesus, but initially their eyes were closed. The gathered disciples saw him but initially did not believe. It was only when Jesus opened their eyes too that they experienced the joy of his resurrection. But do people still experience this dazzling delight today? Many people believe in Easter, you know, those 4 days of holiday we get somewhere in March or April. But many find it difficult to believe in the resurrection that we are really supposed to be celebrating. A few years ago, a survey done in Britain showed that a quarter of those who describe themselves as Christian do not believe in the resurrection. A quarter of those who describe themselves as Christians do not believe in the resurrection. But dearest friends, the resurrection of Jesus is a foundational truth. It's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. If God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, then Paul cannot say to the Colossians, "You were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." If God didn't raise him from the dead, then Jesus isn't alive. And that means that we have no hope. There can be no eternal life for us either. If God didn't raise him from the dead, then Jesus cannot be sitting at God's right hand, interceding daily for you and for me. If God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, then the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is nothing more than fake news. Friends, if we look at the death and resurrection of Jesus in terms of grammar, we have to say that his death wasn't a full stop, but a comma. His work didn't end at the cross. The exclamation mark to God's work comes in the resurrection. For in the resurrection, we sinners are shown that God has accepted Christ's atonement for our sin. The resurrection showed the disciples, and it shows us today, that death no longer has a sting, for it has been conquered. Do you believe this? If you don't believe this with all your heart, then please, dearest friend, do not wait any longer to turn to God to urgently seek that newness of life that is in Jesus Christ alone. For it's through faith in Him alone that you will enter God's kingdom. And praise God if you do believe this with all your heart, for then you will experience that dazzling delight too, the joy that is far greater than if all your birthdays and all your Christmases were to come at once. The delight of knowing that your Saviour is alive, and because of that, you will live forevermore. Brothers and sisters, if this is how we feel about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, how can we remain quiet? How can we not share this with unrestrained enthusiasm? Brother, sister, friend, is this a picture of your life? Let me conclude with this. Tell it out loud, this resurrection day. Christ the Lord has conquered death. Rejoice, O heavens, sing, O earth, for Christ the Lord has risen. O joy that never ends. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you that we can live in the blessed assurance that because you raised him from death, we too will be raised to spend eternity with you. Thank you, Father, that because of Jesus' resurrection, we have the assurance that death has lost its sting. We praise you, O Lord, for the love you have shown to us in your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.